And now may the Lord our God be with each and every one of you.
And also with you.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for your Spirit that moves amongst us. We recognize that you move in a sovereign way, not just in the grand events of life, but in our lives, in the mundane, in the normal, in the ordinary. You are there. We don't scramble about to find you. You're always there. You have led us in these paths, and you are with us. Help us to understand, Father, your divine providence and the wonder of it all. For we rest in that providence, sovereign Father, immutably holy. Guide us now in the pursuit of you, for we ask it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of God's children said, amen and amen. Please be seated. I want you to remember what we were talking about last week. Remember? We were talking about remembering. So I want you to remember about what we were saying last week. And last week we were looking at we went through the Exodus account and we talked about the wilderness wanderings and the questions that they had. Could God deliver us? Is this God who shows up on the scene, Moses presents him to us? Can he actually deliver us? And from the hands of Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the face of the earth, the Lord God delivered his people. Then we find them wandering in the wilderness. And the question now becomes, can the Lord God provide for us? He's brought us out here. We're quite a large group of people. And there's not many 7-Elevens around. So can he provide for us? And he did. Water from a rock, manna from the heavens, quail, and all the things that God did. And he provided for them, not for a day or a week or a little short time. No, he for the entire time that they were in the wilderness. And when they came to Sinai, as Moses, in his response to God, remember God said, bring my people out and bring them back to this mountain. And he brings them to the mountain, and it's a frightful specter. It's thunder and lightning and earth shaking and rumblings and a loud, increasingly loud sound. And it scares them. And now the question isn't, can the Lord provide? Can the Lord deliver? Well, the question was, can he deliver us from Pharaoh? Now the question, having been told by Moses, telling them what God said, don't come near me or you will die. Don't touch the mountain or you will die. You need an intermediary. You need someone to speak for you. And he provides Moses. But the question, if you remember where we left off, the question then became, can God save us from God? He is holy and pure. And if we rushed into his presence, we would die. Who will save us from him? And of course, in our eyes, from a New Testament perspective, we know he saves us from himself, from his own holy wrath against sin, by placing that sin on his Son, whom he will send in the incarnation and the drama of redemption that unfolds from it. But we looked at those wilderness wanderings, and we looked at the Exodus, and we did that because both of those events, the wilderness wanderings and the Exodus, give the context for the encouragement that Moses reminds them of in his swan song as he's going out of business and leaving, and he reminds them to be remembering. And both the Exodus and the wilderness wanderings give a context for the encouragement to remember. And also a context for the encouragement and warning us against forgetting. Don't forget. Remember. And that's what we see in Deuteronomy 8. In the first verses, we see this. Deuteronomy 8:1, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. In the first verse of Deuteronomy 8, first thing we see is this. Moses commands the people to keep all of the commandments that the Lord has given to them. You are to keep most of those commandments, the ones you like. All of those commandments. Remember the commandments of your Lord. And then Moses says in the second verse, the 8th chapter, Deuteronomy, and you shall remember. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. He wants them to remember everything for the last 40 years. Remember. Has God provided for you? Has God protected you? Has God kept you? Remember. Remember. Why? You know why? He tells us, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has blessed you these 40 years in the wilderness. And then it begs the question, why? And he answers it very next part of the sentence, that he led you in 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you. Wow. Remember the 40 years in the wilderness. Remember all of it. The way that the Lord led you. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? That he might humble you. Not the end of the sentence. Comma. That he might humble you. Testing you. I didn't know there was a test. I'd have studied more. Testing you. Testing me on what? What's the topic? On what's in your heart. Testing you to know what was in your heart. Let me ask you a question. Does God need to know what is in your heart? He doesn't know and he'd like to know. Is that the God you have in your thinking? We say that God is omniscient, which means what? He knows what's in your heart. Do you? Remember what he brought you through so you would know what's in your heart. It goes something like this. Oh, trial, tribulation, run, do something, get going. No. What's that show of your heart? Trial and tribulation, rest in God. He has always provided a path. Be at peace so that you will know what's in your heart. That he might humble you to test you, testing you to know what is in your hearts, whether you would keep his commandments or not. In the trial, did you keep God's testament, God's law? When you find yourself in trials and difficulties, and God sends to show you what's in your heart. You see, that's an act of grace. God's grace to say, I say, I think I'm doing pretty good, God. And then he gives me something and I say, yeah, and I'm going to run, figure it out. Oh my God. And he says, see what's in your heart, Rick? You're running scared. You're supposed to trust me. Have I not provided? Remember all the times before this. Haven't I taken care of you? Yes, but this time I'm really... See, what's in your heart, son? And how do I learn that? And then he says in the third verse, and he humbled you. And he humbled you. How did he do that? He tells us. And he humbled you and let you hunger. You're in the wilderness and you're hungry. How are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? He humbled you and let you hunger. Who brought that hunger? Satan did it. No, no. We're going to see this with Paul's thorn in the flesh. It's God. God has reasons to bring the trials and tribulations of life so that we would know what is in our hearts. And for them, he brought them hunger in a wilderness. But what else did he bring them in the wilderness? We're hungry, we're hungry, we have to eat. There's nothing out here, it's a wilderness. Check with me in the morning. When you find this strange dew on the ground, we call it manna. Did I not provide for you? He humbled you, verse 3 says, Deuteronomy 8, and let you hunger and fed you with manna. Do you remember that? Which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Why did he feed them with manna? Why did he give them manna? That he might make you know, this is what Moses says, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I want you to know something. You don't live by bread. You live by the presence of your God. Do you need food? Does he not provide it? When you were in the wilderness, remember, it's important. Did he not give you food every morning? It's an interesting thing. And then Moses reminds them something else. 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. What? Where'd you buy that suit? You better get another one. That's a terrific manufacturer of suits. No, God did that. Your clothing did not wear out, verse 4. Your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. He gives you these things so you will learn. So you will know. So you shall keep, verse 6, so you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God. How? How shall I do that? He gives me the next. By walking in his ways and by fearing him. I know he provides. Well, I better start worrying. I know he provides. Has he not in the past? For the Lord your God, verse 7, is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills. Wow, this is going to be a great place we're going to. A land of wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates. I don't know about that. A land of olive trees and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will catch it. In which you will lack no thing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And you go, oh great, this land just pours out stuff. Careful, guys. It's another test. Well, when I don't have anything, do I trust in the Lord? When I've got everything, plenty and more to spare, do I trust in the Lord? It's another test. And you shall eat your full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land. But here's a caution. Verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. Well, how would I forget the Lord my God in that way? Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you, verse 12, have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, got all the stuff you need, wonderful houses, things are going good. It's another test, guys. And when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, herds, flocks, multiplied, silver, gold, multiplied, all that I have, everything, let's throw it all in there, multiplied. Then what happens? So in verse 2 through 11, Deuteronomy 8, the people are to remember the ways in which the Lord provided for them through every trial they encountered. And these trials primarily related to everyday life, their daily living, their daily care, their daily provisions, and answered the questions, can God deliver us? Answered the question, can God provide for us? And the answer is, having looked at it for 40 years, the answer is clearly yes. What did we do to do that? We didn't do much to make manna come. Water came from a rock. We didn't do much about that. God provided. And we're going into a land that is just going to be wealthy. Careful. And the trials the people faced while they were wandering through the wilderness were intended to teach them lessons about their God. You see, for 40 years, they were in school. For 73 years, I've been in school. And you can put your own numbers in there. Your entire life, you're being schooled. You're in school. You're learning. And what did you experience? Moses could pose that question. Their garments didn't wear out. What did you experience? Feet didn't swell. And we got food from heaven, manna. We ate manna from heaven. Every day it was there, except on the Sabbath. But we didn't eat it on the Sabbath. This is an interesting thing. We notice that the provision of food in the wilderness is something Jesus repeats for us. Does he not? Careful. Why does God bring trials, tribulations, sometimes great blessings? So that you will know what is in your heart. Not God will know. He already knows. Well, I'm doing really good until a trial comes, a difficulty, a hardship. Then what? Or maybe great blessings and more stuff. And then what? You're in school. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? You can't forget it. It's a great, and it is, we say it every Sunday. Why? Well, that's just form. No, you understand, Jesus taught us to pray. And this is the form he said. It doesn't mean you can't stuff other things in between those lines and say things. It says this, when you pray, Jesus said, pray this way. Our Pater, Father. Right, he's my dad. And all of that's wrapped up in that. He's my Father. And then the very first thing should be, hallowed be my name. Hallowed be your name. May your name, my first and foremost prayer, glorify yourself. May your name be held holy. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then what? What do I need in order for his name to be held holy? Well, I'll need a daily sustenance. And what does it say? Give us this month's food. Give us this week's food. You see it? You're in school, guys. Give us this day our daily bread. What am I going to do tomorrow? Do you have food for today? Yes. Has he failed you on any tomorrows? No. So what makes you think he's going to fail you now? It's a test for you to know what's in your heart. Many examples we could draw from Scripture and life, the history of the church on that. But here we see this very concept repeated in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. This pattern of receiving daily bread. And it was intended to instill in you and I, the people of God, the truth. And the truth is what Scripture says. Man, verse 3, does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. I will provide for you. My Heavenly Father said that. Good enough for me. Good enough. For 5 days, a single portion was to be gathered of the manna by the people. And if you got a little greedy and said, I might not have enough for tomorrow, and you gathered an extra bunch, it's not going to be there in the morning. It's going to be putrid. It will be spoiled. A single portion was to be gathered by you. And any that was stored overnight would not be edible in the next morning. Except, does God provide or not? On the sixth day. On the sixth day, go out and gather enough for 2 days. Saturday? Well, it wouldn't be Saturday and Sunday. Our Saturday and Sunday. You'd be there Friday and Saturday. On the sixth day, the people were to gather enough, not for 1 day, give us this day, but for 2 days. And that would prevent them from performing unnecessary work on the Sabbath day, because you're supposed to rest on the Sabbath. And God will provide. Well, if I rest, I won't have any food to eat. No, you see, it'll last. No, it doesn't. It goes bad overnight. No, but it won't on this sixth day. It'll keep. What have you learned? What have you seen? Do you remember what the Lord has done? And unlike the other day's manna, the manna remained fresh. And the entire process emphasized that the Lord provides the provision of the Lord. And it demonstrated that the pathway to blessing is through faithful obedience to what the Lord says. Well, on Tuesday, I'm going to gather up two because on Saturday I could. Not on Tuesday. Says who? Says God. You see? Well, that's so that God can see what we would do. God doesn't need to see what I would do to know me. It's for you to see what's in your heart. Panic! Or trust in the Lord. The entire process emphasizes the Lord's provision and demonstrated that the pathway to blessing is through faithful obedience to the Lord's command. And all of this points to the importance of you and I trusting the Lord. He is trustworthy. When has he failed you? Go back a couple of Sundays. Remember, I said, if you don't have it, you don't need it. If you need it, you will have it. Simple principle. I don't have enough. You don't need it. I think I do. God knows. You don't need it. And there's a lesson in this for you. You're in school. All of it points to the importance of you and I trusting in the Lord for his faithful provision instead of looking to our own human efforts. The Bible consistently teaches the ineffectiveness of you and I striving for something. How ineffective human striving is apart from the blessing of God. The 127th Psalm asks the question, where am I going? No, I'm not saying that from here. That's what the psalmist is asking. Where am I going? I don't know what's going on. And this psalm, the 127th psalm, is concerned with what we work for. Where am I aiming to get to? What am I working for? Where am I going? What we work for, to slave for material possessions. And Scripture makes it clear, to slave for material possessions, to work for them with all your might, is pointless. How much of it are you going to take with you? None of it. Well, I'll take what's in my wallet, my pocket. No, no, that'll stay behind. Nothing. To trust in the Lord without anxiety. That's what we need. I think I need this. Do you have it? Not at the moment. Maybe tomorrow. Okay, then you don't need it till tomorrow. Maybe the Lord forgot. Really? Remember what the Lord has done every time. To trust in the Lord without anxiety is what we need to do. And a person who does that will labor. Certainly they'll work. They'll work hard. But they're not laboring as an end in itself. The person who labors, knowing that God will provide, He knows God in his blessings. And the psalmist then says this, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Yeah. Well, I'm going to put in a lot of work. Well, unless the Lord's building it, it's vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early. It is in vain that you go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For who gives you sleep? For he gives to his beloved sleep. I've learned a new morning prayer over the last 4 years. When I get to sleep through the night, with pretty much can't get past at least one trip to the bathroom, but I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you, Lord, that I had a good night's sleep. You gave me a solid night's sleep. Well, the psalmist says it. And to go to rest eating the bread of anxious toil, for he, the Lord, gives to his beloved sleep. Ain't that the truth? Remember the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount? Therefore I tell you, Jesus said, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They don't have any investments, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. That would have been pretty cool if you stopped there. But then Jesus said this. Cute little birds, we all love them. Are you not of more value than they? It's a rhetorical question. He died for me. He didn't die for the birds. I'm of far more value. And then Jesus goes on, he says in Matthew 6, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to a span of life? I remember being with one of my mentor pastors that mentored me when I was younger. And he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, don't tell me that worrying doesn't make a difference, because most of the things I worry about have never happened. In other words, you are wasting a lot of time worrying. And that's what he meant to say. You can worry and waste a lot of time and find out those things aren't going to happen anyways. Can you add a single hour to your life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, Jesus said, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And then Jesus says this, therefore, because of that, because of what he's just said, don't be anxious. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? This is a whole section here in the Sermon on the Mount where we're just loaded with questions. For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father will be informed that you have a need by an angel. Oh no, he knows. All-knowing God. For your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Does God know I need to eat? Yes, he made me. Does he know I need water? Yes, he knows. He made you. Does he know what I need to serve him this day? What I will need in strength and abilities to be his ambassador in the world as he has called us to be? Yes, he knows. He's given you what you need. And then, of course, Jesus says this, for the Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first what? Y'all know the verse. The kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, coming off that, verse 34, Matthew 6, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There you got it. God brings these things for us to learn what is in our hearts. We can talk big story. Oh, I love the Lord. I'll obey him until trial comes. Who brought the trial? God's teaching you. Do you see where you went, what you did when confronted by that? Yes, I went right to the things the world does. Right. What's that tell you about your heart? Or did I say, the Lord knows what he's doing, and the Lord is my Father, and he knows my steps. Not only that, he's ordained my steps. I'm where he would have me, doing what he would have me do with the gifts he's given me, and he will provide. And that's one lesson that we see. But Moses doesn't stop there. There's another very serious lesson. And I would dare say for us in our culture, in our world, for all of us where we live today, it's the lesson we need to be aware of. It goes past the importance of placing your trust in the Lord alone for even basic needs. It goes further. The danger of having too much. We see Jesus during his 40-day fast. He quotes Deuteronomy 8:3. Remember, in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. And he's tempted by Satan to command the stones to be turned into bread. And both Matthew in chapter 4 of Matthew and Luke chapter 4 in Luke, they both relate this account. And the trials that the Israelites faced were intended to teach them. Teach them to depend upon the Lord and to trust the Lord. And that's what Jesus did when Satan said, make this stone into bread. And he says, the Lord will provide. I will not do that. Even our Lord knew that. I don't need to make stones into bread. God will provide. And of course, you know what happens. God provides. Angels come and tend to him. God will take care of you. Depend upon the Lord. Trust the Lord through every trial, knowing that the Lord disciplines those he loves, even as a father disciplines his son. God will provide. And these things come, as Deuteronomy teaches, to test us so that we know what is in our hearts. Watch how you respond to the trials, tribulations, difficulties, dark days that the Lord will bring for your good and for his glory. But that 8th chapter of Deuteronomy points to another danger. The danger of forgetting the Lord when you're secure. The danger of forgetting the Lord when you're secure and prosperous. It's a greater danger than when you have nothing. This we'll look at next time we're together. Let us pray. We know by experience, by our lives, Father, that you provide what is needed, when is needed, the way in which it is needed, to your glory and our good. We know that you are dealing with us as the groom of your son, as the bride of your son. We saw that in Ephesians, that you are removing the sins and teaching us and guiding us that we might stand with our Savior without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And when we look at it from that perspective, we do not fear what comes. We do not angst over it. For you are there. And you tell us that your rod and staff, they comfort us. We are always with you. Lead on, Father. Teach us. Be glorified in us, in your church. We rest in you. It's a good trip, and we thank you for it. In Christ's name, and all of God's children said, Amen.